On this edition of Audio Berkman.
The deeper the penetration of the technology, the deeper the penetration of the content, the more we have the ability to improve everyone's lives.
Brad Patrick, outside counsel to the Wikimedia Foundation on Wikipedia, Wikimedia, and the law. For Audio Berkman, I'm Colin Rinesmith. The Wikimedia Foundation asks us to imagine a world in which every single person is given free access to the sum of all human knowledge. To help us imagine this world and its legal implications, we'll hear from Brad Patrick of the law firm Fowler, White, Boggs & Banker. The following talk was presented on January 31st, 2006, part of the Tuesday Luncheon Series, at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. Audio Berkman is brought to you by the Berkman Center for Internet and Society on the web at cyber.law.harvard.edu.
Hi, I'm Brad Patrick, and I'm going to be speaking to you for a little while today. First, let me thank everyone who's here. I really appreciate your coming out and expressing, obviously, with your presence, some interest in this this thing of ours called Wikipedia. I titled my talk today, Wither Wikipedia, Practical Legal Challenges. And just so everyone's clear on where I'm coming from, the Wikimedia Foundation is my client. I practice in private practice with a big law firm in Florida. I'm licensed in Florida, and my and Washington State, but my primary interest with respect to Wikipedia is trying to guide the board and the organization as best I can as they move forward in what is obviously a tremendously expansive host of projects, but also a real legal minefield in a lot of different ways. And it's exciting to find other people to talk with about this who are at least somewhat interested. I've kind of worn out my wife's ear on explaining how cool all this stuff is. We have a three-month-old child, so it kind of makes it a little tough to focus on that when you're being drooled on. So let me begin with a couple of quotations. This one came in my mailbox this morning. A satiated man and a starving man do not see the same thing when they gaze upon a loaf of bread. And I think that for many people, Wikipedia may not be the same as many other people see Wikipedia, and that's something that's very important to keep in mind. The second is, it must be realized that there is nothing more difficult to plan, more uncertain of success, or more dangerous to manage than the establishment of a new order of things. That's a quote from Machiavelli. So what are we talking about here? Wikipedia, and please note the R on the registration for Wikipedia, which is now a registered trademark in the United States. Wikipedia is the project that is owned by the Wikimedia Foundation, Inc. It is a Florida not-for-profit corporation. It is a 501c3 in the United States. It is run by a board of trustees numbering 5. It has reached as high as the top 15 on Alexa.com in terms of its global reach, which is really quite extraordinary for something that is this conglomeration of effort by so many people. We have physical assets. There are lots of servers. I will be using the term we. Please do not associate me as being a board member or anything like that. I'm outside counsel. That's my role. But for convenience, I'll use we to refer to the foundation today in my talk. In addition, we have an intellectual property portfolio, which consists of the Wikipedia marks and the most valuable asset, the Wikipedia.org domain name, which is obviously well, very, very well known throughout the Internet and around the world. Well, what else is Wikipedia? Wikipedia is a collection of online communities and projects. Just for clarity, is there anyone here who has not seen Wikipedia? Okay, I didn't think so, but I figured I'd better ask. We might take a look at a page or two later. It is obviously available in dozens of languages, the most numerous being English. We're almost up to 950,000 articles. We'll be topping 1 million in the foreseeable future. I think the betting is still open, SJ, if I'm not mistaken, for what the content of the millionth article on Wikipedia will be. Obviously, there are thousands of volunteers who make Wikipedia what it is. From the lowly user who just simply finds it in a Google search for something that they're looking for, to the editors who spend many of them many hours every day reviewing their favorite pages to see what all is going on and to contribute new ones. Administrators or admins, as they're called in the community, whose responsibilities include a whole host of different things, new page patrol, squashing vandals and trolls and various ne'er-do-wells who would do the Wikipedia harm. Stewards, who are a step up from that, who have a greater level of responsibility and access. ARBCOM, which is short for the Arbitration Committee, a dispute resolution center, all handled virtually, which intends to reconcile conflict between various Wikipedians who are unable to play nice with one another. OTRS, which is a ticketing system used internally to the organization to monitor requests that come in by email. There are various email addresses that people send stuff to. It could be, we'd like to give you a bunch of money, to, we'd like to know why you're not doing more in Senegal, to, you know, it could be anything. So that is handled by a group of volunteers who manage that process as well. And also, Wikipedia does have user groups, that is specifically chapters associated in some countries, more coming all the time, whose primary focus is on the collective of those in their various countries and languages. So that's all part of what Wikipedia is. I'd like to differentiate, for purposes of this discussion, two things, which I'm going to put in quotes here, content and administration. Content is the term I'm using to describe daily operations. That is, the regular stuff of what's going on every day on Wikipedia, 24 hours, 7 days a week, around the world, which is new pages are being created, edits are happening all the time. There are vandals who are out there trying to do bad things to pages all the time. There is a whole subculture of individuals who see themselves as being the guardians of good editing and who seek to undo or what in the culture we call revert pages who have experienced poor deletion or poor editing. There is a, I have the term VFD up here, which is vote for deletion, although I just checked the article a moment ago and found out that it is now officially AFD for articles for deletion, which involves a community consensus as to whether pages in conflict should be allowed to continue or not. The principle of NN, or non-notable, for people who would use vanity pages to try to spread the word for their particular book or, you know, what have you. So that's kind of the day-to-day stuff that's going on the content side. In addition, and this is really, it can't be underscored enough, this is the definition of the role of the community. This is the where people like you who are interested in Wikipedia have a chance to do that which so many people never do, which is to contribute their verse. And I'm speaking solely about content. another thing that's notable is that there are elections for various things. There are just recently there were elections for stewards. Two of the five board positions are conducted through elections among those in the community. And obviously, as we just discussed with respect to articles for deletion, there are many situations every day where people have an opportunity to offer their two cents on a particular issue, a particular interpretation of something on a page, and to decide what will or won't stay as part of the text of the encyclopedia. Now, to contrast that, the content side, on the administrative side, I'd like to assure everyone, and for those of you in the listening audience, there is, in fact, an office. there really is a guy who answers the telephone. There really are people who get the mail and try to do the regular day-to-day boring bookkeeping and record-keeping and all of that stuff that is fundamental to an organization that has such a wide reach. As popularity for Wikipedia has increased over the last, certainly a couple of years, but certainly over the last couple of months, we've seen a spectacular increase in traffic and attention and discussion in the popular press, which has led to more and more and more press inquiries, some in this country, some elsewhere, Because of the way the clock and time zones work, it is very often the case that my BlackBerry is ringing off the hook with new messages very, very, very early in the morning as something happens in Germany or somewhere in the EU. So as the founder of the organization, Jimmy Wales, is fond of saying, we're open 24/7. And never has that been driven home more clearly to me than since I started working for Wikipedia. It's really an extraordinary thing to see how dynamic the communities can be all the time. I should add fundraising in there. We just came off a very successful round of fundraising, the largest donor drive in the organization's history, which pulled in just shy of $400,000 at the end of December and beginning of January. So fiscally, the fundraising aspect is something that we've been very lucky to have the support of so many donors, of very small amounts, but many, many donors contributing their bits here and there, and it adds up, and it's been really, really good for the organization. Also on the administrative side, I've defined what is really the role of the foundation, and I want to distinguish the foundation as the legal entity from the community. We're talking there about trusteeship, the fiduciary responsibility that's owed by a nonprofit organization. We're talking about corporate governance in the sense of how the foundation is going to run itself and how it is going to reconcile its role as a corporate body with the standards and mores and expectations of a community. There's obviously an audit function and the boring stuff like that, that pesky legal requirements that we keep bumping into. But then the other thing that's really exciting is the opportunity that the foundation has to really decide what kind of policies it wants. The mission of the organization, the old saw about you should be able to say what the mission of the organization is to someone in an elevator. And what I tell people when they ask what is this Wikipedia is that the mission of the foundation is to allow anyone on the planet with an internet connection to have the sum of all human knowledge available to them in their own language. And then I say, pause. And it's always good to, start small, don't you think? But it's true. I mean, if you look at what the world is changed by, it's changed by people with a good idea who are willing to put energy and really put their blood, sweat, and tears into advancing that one itty-bitty step at a time. If you think about however many, I've ever quantified it, but however many million edits we're talking about to create this thing, that's online today, it's really breathtaking. And a note I put down here, not anywhere close to being an exhaustive list for what the community or what the foundation does, but this is intended to be suggestive. So the legal team, there's this guy named Jubé. Hey, Jubé. Jean-Baptiste Souffron, he is an attorney in France and is currently a PhD candidate who is studying internet issues. As his PhD, he's obviously focused on Wikipedia. Jean-Baptiste is, we've pretty much divided, let me click up the rest of this. There's me, the light of my life there. The basic division of portfolio we have is that Jean-Baptiste is responsible for the world, and I'm responsible for a little carve-out, which is pretty much governance and litigation, primarily U.S., because of the way that things are structured. They are a Florida corporation. If they get sued, somebody's got to deal with it, and that's really where I come in. In addition, the governance issues with respect to how the board treats things and being able to provide legal counsel to the board within an attorney-client privilege is something that is important to the organization, and that's the role I play as well. And then everything else goes back to Jean-Baptiste. That's kind of how we've been handling it. I'm kidding. There's much, much more to it. And that takes the form of several other named individuals and a whole bunch of others. Two other attorneys of note are Thorsten Feldman in Germany, who's handling the litigation that made some news a few weeks ago regarding the hacker Tron. A gentleman named Alex Roschak, who's an attorney up in Brooklyn in New York, or I guess down in Brooklyn. I'm sitting here at Harvard. He is a copyright specialist and has helped with a lot of copyright-related issues. And there also exists this thing called JuryWiki, which is an internal list that's a closed list for people within the legal community associated with Wikipedia to be able to obtain counsel from various people, kind of throw out ideas with a whole host of different people, a very diverse group of practitioners, to be able to contribute ideas about upcoming issues or things that might be of note. So, what are we talking about here? What is the scope of stuff that the foundation has to deal with? I'm just going to click through this list briefly. Obviously, governance. From where I sit, the perspective of how to reconcile, on the one hand, this vibrant community with thousands of people, you know, that is as flat an organization as has ever been devised to run such a simple project. Simple, in quotes. On the other hand, you have this tiny board working, you know, out of a small office in St. Petersburg, Florida. That's a big range. And how to work together to be able to keep the organization doing what it's doing on both the content side and the administrative side is the challenge. So that's really the thing that occupies a lot of my thought on the best way to be able to communicate while respecting both what the community's interests are and the legal requirements of the board. That's a really significant problem. Strategic planning. If you think about this thing and how it's evolved and how quickly it's evolved, the question one might ask is, what's going to happen in a year? If I ask anyone what Wikipedia was a year ago, how many people in this room would have known what it was? 1 year ago. Okay, handful. They ask it the other way. Who had never heard of Wikipedia? I would be one of them.
Really?
My just a caveat about me. I had no idea what Wikipedia was. I'd heard of something about wikis at one point. I tried to edit a page and got frustrated and forgot about it. And then when Jimmy was guest blogging for your colleague, Professor Lessig, about the 10 things that should be free, that really hit a nerve with me. And I went in search of this guy, Jimmy Wales, found out he lived across the bridge from me, emailed him and said, hey, let's have lunch, and then was deluged with this, what could fairly be called a fascinating set of issues that a growing organization like the Wikimedia Foundation might need some legal assistance with. And that's how I got involved. But turning to that, so we have a concept of strategic planning. How is this thing going to be alive a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now, or if you can even imagine 10 years from now, or 20 years from now? How far out do you want to go, and what can you reasonably expect to be the future of this enterprise? And don't just think about your own language. Think about all the other languages that have, you know, 2,000 articles today. What does it mean to be successful? What are the hallmarks of success that Wikipedia should aspire to? And everyone has a stake in that. Everyone has a sense of what they envisage for the organization and how best to put together the resources and the people requirements that are going to be necessary to get there. On the technical side, how are things going to change? You know, 5 years from now, are we all going to have the equivalent of this much data sitting on our cell phones or whatever the implement is that people carry around in 5 years? I don't know. But that's neat stuff, and it's fun to think about, and it's fun to think about how to build the bridges that are going to get us there, preserving the values that already are peculiar to this community. The next item is succession planning. There is a Jimmy Wales. He's the founder of the organization. There's always the bus question. Anyone who's practiced law will have the concept of what happens if my client gets hit by a bus. And you ask the client, so what happens if you get hit by a bus? And they have to think through that. And one of Jimmy's tasks right now is to think through, Jimmy, what happens if you get hit by a bus? So,
fun.
I beg your pardon?
Fun.
Well, perhaps not for Jimmy. I put a bit of a spin on that. The true question is, it's not just simply about leadership. It's about maintaining the kind of vibrant community that has been a hallmark of Wikipedia to date, and really structuring in as much as possible what can be done to keep that moving forward. And it's a real privilege to know that this summer we're going to have the opportunity to bring together for the second time the community, and to bring them together here for the gathering of Wikimania in August. And it's going to be exciting to be in this country. It's going to be exciting for people who might have a tangential relationship to Wikipedia, and to help make it more real by actually getting to meet some of the people that you've only known by a few initials or a funky handle in the community. That's really helped deepen my understanding of what this is all about, actually getting to meet the individuals involved. So that's going to be exciting. Let's see, financial planning. We have all kinds of questions about how best to structure the financial affairs of the foundation going forward. Fundraising, grants, how are we going to reach out for our larger donors? What are the ways that that can be accomplished? A very exciting area, and we're looking for lots of help in that area as well, because we want people to feel that when they're contributing, they understand that they're supporting a very, very broad mission. And we're trying to make sure, as we've been going through this, that we keep our focus on users, on the community, and making sure that people understand how their donations are being spent. Special projects. This would be just a rhetorical question. What is the role of the organization? Where is its outer limit in terms of what would or would not be appropriate to be something that's handled by the foundation? Should anything be spun off? Should there be new projects started? How? What is their guiding principle going to be? Those are all questions that deserve attention, that require some deep thought and real clarity when it comes to defining the scope of the mission as applied to any particular project. That was a poor sentence, but if you're talking about providing the world's knowledge to everyone in their own language, getting there and being specific requires some real thought. So that, I believe, is where special projects is going to come in. It goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that Wikipedia is fundamentally an international organization. It is organized in the U.S. It is an American corporation, no question about it. But you can't exist without crossing borders. And understanding each other internationally is a huge component, and is going to be increasingly more important through Wikivangelism in different countries, different cultures, and different languages. That's an essential quality of what's going to happen to the organization moving forward. I put international relations here as a kind of a shorthand for pick a regime, pick the other side of that regime, and then apply to Wikipedia. And there's a good chance there's already a dialogue about it if there isn't already blatant conflict about it. So how to manage that? That's a huge question that very smart, interested people continue to process, and it's a constant source of conversation and a need for real attention as the world shifts day to day. And then the last point I wanted to mention was that BlackBerry ringing off the hook notwithstanding, the question of global communication and management, multinational corporations, for-profit corporations that span the globe have a huge problem with communication, and it's really no different for Wikipedia. You have problems getting people to be able to talk to each other at the same time. If they're in New Zealand, if they're in Germany, if they're, you know, wherever they are. And making sure that the people who are interested in a particular issue have an opportunity to be on IRC together or be able to actually have real-time communication is something that is an extraordinarily difficult thing to accomplish, with any consistency. It's better to put together a conference. You see a bunch of people, you're able to talk, it's real time, and all of that. But it is always going to be a challenge to try to work together around the world. And I just flag that as an issue because it is a foundation concern on how best to communicate with everyone. So, another quote. Nobody made a greater mistake than, and I made this she, who did nothing because she could only do a little. That's Edmund Burke. So, do a little. Join Wikipedia. That's my daughter in her lovely Wikipedia t-shirt. So... So that's really all that I wanted to say in this context. I have been just blown away by the brilliance and thoughtfulness and real concern about real issues to real lives with this organization. And when you talk with people, and I think of the kind of the paradigmatic ugly American concept of some, oh, what are you doing with some stupid, and you know, everyone asks me, what's the business model? You know, they want to know, how are you making money off this? And I say, well, we've got this donate here button, and people donate money, and they look at me like I'm crazy, and I say, well, we pulled in some serious coin. It's a, you know, going in the right direction. But then you ask yourself, what about the effect that this has on a country where free speech is not taken for granted, or where there are challenges, or where there are regimes that have a different view about what ought to be shared. And you have a real opportunity to change people's lives. And the deeper the penetration of the technology, the deeper the penetration of the content, the more we have the ability to improve everyone's lives. So I'm a true believer in that. I love libraries. I love knowledge. I love being able to share it. And I'm really happy that... I'm able to share at least a little bit with you all. So with that, I will be happy to have you ask any questions you want. I reserve the right not to answer any question I don't want. But with that, I guess I'll go ahead and get started. Thank you.
Well, so just to kick it off, does Wikipedia keep any record, any personalizable or traceable records of my search history?
I will defer to those with a better technical knowledge, but my understanding of that is no. That is not to say, however, that that history, in particular your edit history, where you've actually made changes on pages, is not known, because it very much is. You can go to a Wikipedia page, click.
That's known as by a persistent identity that's not necessarily traceable to a physical person, as I understand.
I'm differentiating two things. If one is a la Google, you're concerned about what searching for something in the encyclopedia is. I don't believe that is retained at all. I believe that the issue of edit history that is particular to a known user is persistent. Does that answer your question?
Currently, the only cookie that gets left by MediaWiki is your username. So when you come back to that page, the username is there, so you don't have to type it again if you want it to be there. There's no unique tracking ID currently that Wikipedia
wants. But there are logs with
server logs.
Yeah, there are server. So there are. So any edit you do could be traced back to an IP, which may have some kind of geographic information. It's not going to be immediately accessible to someone, but someone is, you know, committed to finding this out and has a lot of resources, like the government, probably could. There are also server logs, which are not scrubbed, which should, you know, someone subpoena them, they could get access to that same information about IP, which could, in many situations, be traced back to a particular geographic location, a DSL line, something like that. So,
I was just
going to
follow up on that. Has Wikipedia been proactively developing the policies regarding server logs and retention of data, not the editable, trackable edit histories, which you're going to see, but the sort of the search data that otherwise really wouldn't be available?
I confess I have a more limited knowledge of the ins and outs of exactly what is left in the databases than some other areas. As has been explained to me, there is a limited period of time when material is still available. This comes in very handy in the prosecution of vandals through the online, through regular Wikipedia processes, to be able to go back and primarily for the identification of sock puppets. There's been a lot of difficulty with, you know, the vandals are good, and they are typically willing to step outside their own username to accomplish their means or their unique IP or what have you. And as such, it's required a little more force on the part of administrators to be able to go after them and be able to undo all the not so good that they've done. So that's the legitimate function that's it's being used for today. I can't answer your question more technically in terms of exactly which, you know, how the caches are maintained or any of that good stuff.
Just wondering, do you and James want to come back?
We had a little bit of permission. A couple months, you said?
Right. IRC, someone said that the server logs are maintained for a few months.
Okay.
So there's a window.
Some period of time, which I think is reasonable. I mean, I think it would defeat the purpose of what administration needs to do to be able to appropriately track the bad stuff if we don't have any,
There are other ways of going about it. Mm-hmm. Could, for example, replace each IP with something that with a hash that could be mm-hmm. unique. We could uniquely identify each IP, but that would, so that if someone came from the same place 10 times, you mm-hmm. know that it was the same person, but it doesn't give you any information on what that IP is. So there are other ways that other groups, mm-hmm. the Independent Media Center, other places have tried to approach. I mean, they have the same problem with vandalism, right? And they tried to solve it mm-hmm. in ways that do not create records that could be subpoenaed, that could implicate people for doing things that may be wrong or that may be mm-hmm. something they support. So there are other kind of technical solutions to that problem.
Yes?
You mentioned earlier that the number of entries is reached around 950,000.
Yes.
At least on the English side.
Yep.
What percentage of those are unique, or from unique IP addresses, I guess? How big is the community in terms of?
I have absolutely no idea. There are others who have tried to get closer to that statistic. Please don't quote me on this for specifics, but my best understanding is that it is in the vicinity of tens of thousands, but I don't even have the right decimal point. I don't know. But there are many, many users. And it obviously, you know, gets harder to penetrate in terms of each of those statistics. I'm just a stupid lawyer, so I'm aware of a trend line, and I know which way it points.
I can speak to that. There are a few hundred thousand accounts that have been created, but a lot of them are never used, and there are at least 20,000 accounts that have been used at some point for a few edits. I think the active statistic we keep is people who have made at least 10 edits, and there are about 15,000 of those people in English, and about twice as many in all the languages.
Thanks.
Speak a bit about the ownership of the content, sort of copyright issues? Mm-hmm. Is the content in the public domain? If so, how is it made clear that it's in the public domain? What happens if somebody posts content that seems to come from a copyrighted source? There's a series of questions.
Well, let's see. For those of you following along, I just went online and to the front page of Wikipedia and went to the article on the Australian Open tennis tournament, just looking for something, to click down to the footer, where you'll see that all text is available under the terms of the new free documentation license with a link to, say, see copyrights for details. I will state with a great deal of emphasis that it is of the utmost importance to the foundation that it not foster copyright violations. CopyVio, as it is referred to in the community in shorthand, is just one of those sins that we have to live with, and we actively do everything we can to shut down. We are very sensitive to it. The point of the way that the content is structured is to allow for its reuse under the terms of the GFDL. The intention is obvious. We want the information to be free. Free in the sense of libre, not free in the sense of gratis, although that's nice too.
GFDL means General Free Documentation License.
Correct. And I'll just go ahead and pop up here. The essential quality is that you're allowed to copy and distribute verbatim copies of it, provided you keep the same notice going forward. The idea is that it's a one-way door. Once it's contributed in, it can't be undone in the sense of taken back out of its use for these free purposes. I'm not the most articulate spokesperson for the GFDL. I can just tell you that the foundational principle of Wikipedia and its content is that the information be free. Now, with respect to images, which is another major issue, we do want people to contribute images and sounds and recordings and all kinds of neat stuff. And that neat stuff finds a home in Commons, which is one of the Wikipedia sister projects. If you were to take a look at Commons, and in particular look at photography, there are just some extraordinary, extraordinary pictures. I'm clicking now in the Australia Open article to go to Commons and see what related media... Whoops. What related media there are for the Australian Open. I haven't looked at this, so I don't know what's here, but okay. These appear to be a handful of photographs from this year's Australian Open. The point being that in order for these documents, for these images, rather, to be uploaded, they need to be made available under a share, at least a CC license, if not a public domain or GFDL. Yes?
So I'm sorry, so this is just some Wikipedian who went to the match and took some photos, presumably?
Yep.
Okay.
So here's one, Martina Hingis and Emma Lane. So this particular file is licensed under a CC Attribution Share-Alike 2.5 license uploaded by whomever this user is. Twice25 is this particular user.
Is there an exemplary story about a copyright fight? There must then be issues where somebody seems to post an...
I'll tell you my favorite. My personal favorite is... people seem to have a thing about mugshots. If you think about it, the mugshot, I guess under American law, would be the copyright would be held by the police department or the law enforcement agency who took the mugshot. So depending on the level of government and precisely how that jurisdiction handles its retention or not of copyright, it may or may not be considered a public domain image. So we had somebody who decided that a particular mugshot was his copyrighted material. And I had to really stretch my mind to understand what possible basis this guy could think that he had copyright in a particular image of all things, a mugshot. And the best I could come up with was that he thought that he owned the tangible item of the physical mugshot itself, and therefore that his ownership somehow conferred on him a copyright to that image, which he clearly didn't take and wouldn't have had anything to do with unless he were taking a fake mugshot, but it was historic, et cetera. You know, it gets kind of crazy after a while. What I do know is that the people on New Page Patrol, those in the community who watch the uploads and are aware of what's going on, are very quick to act if they see something that just cannot plausibly be something that would not fall into one of the exceptions for copyright. They're very attuned to it. Yes?
I just had a question with people complaining about information, especially with personal pages, saying that the information is false. I'm sure you must face lawsuits, but I'm wondering how the court responds to the fact that they could edit the information themselves, if that's in any way absolved Wikipedia from responsibility.
I'm thinking about how best to answer your question. I'll go ahead and fast forward to the German example because it's the one that has been popularized in the past couple of weeks. There exists a hacker whose name handle was Tron. This gentleman, now deceased, was a real person, had a real name, and that name is published. It's been published in a book. It's been published online. It's been disseminated. The issue that the German court is dealing with relates to whether or not the fact of publication under German law would constitute a violation, as I understand it, of a German constitutional right to privacy, which is somewhat different, although somewhat akin, but in other ways really different, than an American conception of privacy law. The issue is very simple. Does, you know, to what extent does Wikipedia have any obligation not to print the guy's name?
He's dead.
He's been dead for a while. His parents are upset. They sued. And it's being dealt with in the court system. But the question that's really presented about it is, to what extent does Wikipedia have an obligation to correct something? To what extent does it have an obligation not to publish something? And if they do publish something, what are the ramifications of it, just writ large? I can tell you that that has not been tested. To the extent that the German case is still pending, its technical procedural status right now is that there are papers before the court relating to the enforcement of a preliminary injunction. That's what's presently going on in Germany. But I can tell you that no U.S. court has presently considered the question of how the authorship of an article in Wikipedia relates to any kind of liability for libel or anything like that. So that remains to be seen. Yes?
I have a question off IRC for you. Do you believe that the owner-authors of Wikipedia best serve their long-term interest by allowing their GFDL licensee, the Wikimedia Foundation, to register a trademark in the word Wikipedia, which the authors have associated with the most eminent public encyclopedia in the world?
Read the last part again. I'm sorry, I'm not.
I'll read the whole thing again. Do you believe that the owner-authors of Wikipedia best serve their long-term interest by allowing their GFDL licensee, the Wikimedia Foundation, to register a trademark in the word Wikipedia, which the authors have associated with the most eminent public encyclopedia in the world?
Hmm. I guess my response would be, as opposed to what? Because clearly there is a function that is performed, there's a value that is associated with that which has happened historically. I mean, Wikipedia has happened. It is also the case that there is a brand, it is certainly a non-commercial brand in that regard, but there is a brand that is a trademark and is registered. But I think what we're getting into is really a question of where exactly what is it that the foundation gets in terms of a benefit that the author doesn't. I think I'm differentiating in that regard. And beyond that, I'm not sure what the long-term interests of any particular author are. Yes?
Just want to add, I guess it's quite known in the field of free software, for example, that the foundations have trademarks. Take Apache or Mozilla, they all have trademarks on the thing and people contribute. So it's nothing that Wikipedia invented in a bad way or something. I want to ask a question about the arbitration panel you mentioned. Yes. Is there some formal legal text in the corporate governance of the foundation, or how is it in a formal way, and how is the acceptance by peers who are participating?
Let me tell you a little about what I can say about that. The arbitration committee, and I just went to Wikipedia in English and searched for ARBCOM, A-R-B-C-O-M, which is its pet name in the project. And the page begins with a note that this page is an official policy in English Wikipedia and discusses you know, how it works and all of that. Let me put it this way. What's good about it is that it has taken the most contentious user issues, that is user versus user, and people who in another context would be fairly characterized as flaming one another, each other, and put a structure in place to allow those individuals to make their case before a panel of very trusted Wikipedians who are elected by the community to their role, and to give them an opportunity for dispute resolution that will result in an action or no action. It is an entirely informal process in the sense that this does not it is not a legal process in any formal way. It is a formal process within Wikipedia, but it is certainly not intended to be. It's not in the bylaws as a function of the foundation to do this. It is something that's grown out specifically of the history of English Wikipedia in particular. And I give the greatest degree of credit to the people who serve on ARBCOM for handling it. They do a tremendous job. They go through all the evidence that's being presented by people, you know, for or against a particular proposition or a particular user, and they churn it through, and they do what they can. I encourage you to take a look at the page. All the history is on here for different cases and how they've been handled in the past, so there's a developing quasi-quote common law of ARBCOM activity. Seems appropriate for English. I'm sorry? I don't know that statistic. I'm sorry. Okay. It's on Wikipedia.
Let's try to maybe give a few people in the back here a chance to...
Absolutely. Yes.
I was wondering how the law differentiates between conflicts between users, so user to user, and a conflict between a user or potentially visitor and Wikipedia. So you just said, you know, for example, if I go there and I realize someone has put up an entry about myself and things in there are entirely untrue, the person to blame or the institution to blame in that case would be whom? Is it the person who put up that information or is it Wikipedia? And at what point does the law point me to one or the other? I'm referring to the incident about 6 weeks ago in which the famous, relatively famous journalist was very angry for information written about him and his supposed involvement.
That's Mr. Siegenthaler.
Yeah.
Yes, we can call him by his name. That's fine. I assume, is there anybody who doesn't know what the Siegenthaler incident is? You're all very active. Let's put it this way. The Siegenthaler incident instructed us in one very clear way that what is most important, I think the lesson that is coming to be learned about this is that the most important lesson is that the living are different. In the sense that you have to deal with people who are real people, who, let's assume notable, assume they do have a function that puts them in some public light and that they are worthy of an article and an entry. There is a very clear distinction to be made between vanity pages, people whose interest is in promoting themselves through their own page and want to put their own information up as a neat tool of propaganda, and those who have a genuine disagreement about how someone is characterized publicly. I mean, public figures, by their definition, have both supporters and critics. And the point is that every page on Wikipedia has a discussion page. It has a talk page. And the method that is endorsed by the wiki in this technique is to allow people to make their best arguments through the talk. Now, in the case of Siegenthaler, there was obviously information that was incorrect. And it turns out that it was not caught. It wasn't a page that had been reviewed to the degree it should have. But what came out of it was Jimmy Wales made a determination, I think, which was the right one, which the anonymous users weren't going to be allowed to just post anonymously, that there has to be a user attached to it. That tends toward, to answer your question, the ability to challenge an individual author who put in a particular bit of content and to allow them, you know, assuming a fair fight, to allow them to have that dialogue. And where the foundation fits in is that we're promoting free access to this dialogue. But in terms of what Wikipedia or the foundation itself is undertaking to do, we're not taking, the foundation itself is not undertaking to edit a particular page. It's encouraging users to do that.
So I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just wondering at what point does the law step in and say this is not an issue for the board, this is an issue between Wikipedia and the plaintiff. Or I'm just wondering, at what point can you draw the line between an internal complaint between users? I'm upset you should change this back to this is Wikipedia's responsibility that something like this happened. In the case of Siegenthaler, maybe that it was allowed to stay up for so long. I'm just wondering, what are the criteria for determining when the dispute moves past the user to Wikipedia? At what point does Wikipedia assume responsibility for a user's behavior or perhaps negligence?
I think that my instinctive answer is to ask a plaintiff, ask someone who would consider themselves aggrieved, and what their calculus is about whether or not to try to bring suit against the foundation. I think in large measure that we have the tools in place to be able to respond to people's legitimate complaints. And we encourage people to bring situations to our attention. That happens all the time, where people, you know, find a particular issue and they try to seek some response from the foundation to say, what about this? And this is crazy. This is wrong. And I think that the intent, certainly, of the foundation is through, most certainly through the community of users, but through the kind of dialogue that results in a better product, in a better output in the form of an article. If we keep that in mind as the ultimate goal, that the dialogue is going to take care of most of that. And to the extent it can't, for a particular reason, to invite the help of the foundation through regular customer service-y kinds of responses for help desk. Help desk is the name of the place to go on Wikipedia if you need assistance in that regard. And those come in, and users deal with it. They really do. Yes. I think you were first.
Can you elaborate on the international relations issues that you mentioned earlier and what kind of process you have for dealing with them?
Help me be a little more clear. Okay, what are you thinking?
On your scope of issues foundation page, one of the bullet points was international relations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it was just that different jurisdictions around the world have different policies on how information should be treated. Is that when you...
Yeah, China being the obvious example. I mean, this week's news, or last week's news, the extent to which different organizations are choosing to deal with China is a huge issue. Wikipedia has a history with China. It's not hiding about that. It's not something I've been actively involved with on a policy level. We haven't been invited to provide any commentary in terms of the legal implications of anything in that regard. What I can tell you is that it is an ongoing issue. And I think that, as current events carry us forward, thinking ahead to the Olympics, thinking ahead to other things, the continuing negotiation about what will or won't happen with respect to a particular wiki, in this case the China issue, is something that is being constantly reexamined by those who are really in touch with that community.
And what's the process within the foundation for dealing with that?
Well,
Who all is involved in those discussions?
It's discussed, I know, on Foundation with some on the Foundation listserv with some degree of regularity. There's a chapter coordinator who is a person who's responsible for keeping an eye on those kinds of things. There are other discussions, frankly, that predate my specific involvement that I'm just not in touch with on a day-to-day basis. But certainly the question of the degree to which Wikipedia would have a policy change or would somehow retreat from the position that it's had of date would be something that would be very heavily discussed in the community. There's no doubt. I mean, there are a lot of very interested people in that issue. Yes, sir.
How often are you getting sued these days?
I can state that at this moment there is no pending litigation in the United States.
I'm amazed. Yeah, let's file.
Yeah. Please don't. Yes?
Can I ask another small question on the license? Since you've shown the GNU Free Documentation license and Creative Commons for the pictures, all these licenses are not specifically made for Wikipedia. They are made the free documentation for software documentation. So I can imagine they all have their advantages for Wikipedia, but none of them is really fitting for the whole thing. Are there plans to do a known license one day, or what's your forecast?
Yes, the that is not my thing in terms of precisely yet, but it is the thing of other people who are very gifted in that area. And I'm thinking specifically of what Professor Lessig has announced in terms of license compatibility issues that are going to be discussed within the realm of commons, Creative Commons. And the fact that there are, to some ways of thinking, very clear conflicts among licenses, and that the lack of a unified license for Wiki and for that sort of use does present a problem in some contexts. It's come up, I know, in the context of translation. It comes up in the area of the copyrightability of images for public use, for share-alike use, but because it's not the best choice in that it's not uniquely Wiki, it is an area that I think is absolutely in need of further examination, and I believe that smart people with that particular expertise will find a better solution. I hope they do.
To speak to that a little bit, the bigger problem is that there's a huge amount of data in Wikipedia already under the GFDL, and relicensing that, since there aren't copyright assignments from each contributor, would be, to say the very least, very, very difficult. Probably impossible. So there's a lot of work with the Free Software Foundation, and there have been a lot of discussions about revising that license, because there is this port emulator version clause. And there is a plan to do that. There is a text of the license that is done, but the FSF is not releasing it because they're kind of releasing the new version of the GPL right now, which...
They're a little busy.
Yeah, the Free Software Foundation's first goal still is software, and that's can be annoying for people that are... Some people, but hopefully people understand. The plan is, according to what was said at the GPL launch, that there will be a new GFDL within this process of the GPLs within the next year, so...
So the photo, fair use photo of the Australian Open that you showed, when I looked it up, it actually came from Flickr under a Creative Commons share alike license.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if there are any issues regarding kind of importing or exporting large numbers of photos, fair use photos from Wikipedia. Like, I imagine Harry Potter, almost every image related to Harry Potter is going to be copyrighted and have to be under fair use. So, you know, what if there's some fan site that uploads a lot of images or some new fan site that takes down all the Harry Potter images from Wikipedia? Are there issues related to that? Or?
I'm going to refrain from commenting on a specific because I really don't want a phone call from the Harry Potter people.
Okay.
No, that's fine. Well, I let me put it this way. I think that what attracts attention is volume. And that is if, you know, you see a pattern of, and this is something that the people who monitor this kind of thing would recognize, if 15,000 images of something come in all of a sudden, that's going to create a question. And it's going to, you know, be a flag for people. They're going to look at it a little more carefully. They're going to try to discern what the source is. And certainly to the degree that there is a question mark about, you know, wait a minute, what's really going on here? I think that is something that we certainly understand what our obligations are under DMCA, where, you know, if we receive notices, we have a DMCA agent, et cetera. So, I mean, there's an expectation that we're going to do what we need to do under U.S. law to begin with. Does it concern me that there would be larger volumes at issue? I really think the volume question is simply a byproduct of the technological capability we have, and Flickr's an amazing tool. You can move a whole lot of stuff really quickly. But I also think it could be used responsibly to great effect. So I guess my response would be it's possible, and if something goes awry, that we would hope that our people would be on top of it.
So like if someone wrote a bot to query every Flickr CC?
Well, bots, again, outside my wheelhouse, but bots get people's attention in a big way. I see SJ nodding approvingly.
Question back this one.
Yeah, we know that obviously a lot of people are scraping Wikipedia and republishing about.com and others. And obviously that's, or at least on the surface, it seems like that's perfectly legal under GFDL. Are there other IP law implications there? Have you guys seen abuses that you do consider outside of the scope of GFDL in those cases? And is there anything in general in that issue you want to talk about?
No.
Well, so a follow-up question. What are the standard kinds of ways of dealing with sites that use content and aren't compliant with the license?
Well, the biggest issue, I think, in this regard is where there are uniquely Wikipedia articles or things that I think are relatively simply traceable back to the identical Wikipedia content. The primary problem, of course, is who is going to do the policing, and this is the community issue. It is certainly not my expectation, and nor have I been directed by the foundation to go out and try to hunt down every user of Wikipedia-related content who might have done something not entirely according to Hoyle with respect to the GFDL. It's part of the process. I mean, I guess my point is that I take solace in the fact that, at least with respect to the text, we're talking about what is free, and that I don't lose sleep over the fact that people can use the content again. But they are supposed to follow the rules. And how and under what circumstances a particular application of that principle would result in the need for action, I can't really say.
We're pretty much out of time. Maybe one last fairly quick question before we wrap up.
Anyone?
Anyone?
Bueller? Anyone?
Or not. Okay. Well, if not, everyone join me in thanking Brad for a...
You've been listening to the February 2nd, 2006 episode of Audio Berkman. Audio Berkman is brought to you by the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. For more information about the Berkman Center or Audio Berkman, visit us on the web at cyber.law.harvard.edu. For Audio Berkman, I'm Colin Reinsmith. Thanks for listening.